I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space for the independent thinker out there. Next hour, 10 to 11 o'clock. Because it's Wednesday, we will do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I'm going to do a little bit of tough love for the parents out there. Don't shoot the messenger. But I've also got some really, I think this is some important stuff. If you've got young kids, young grandkids, nieces, nephews, any young children that you care about, there's research out right now of something that's happening with our kids that I think is manifesting itself both physically and culturally. It has to do with nutrition or some of our environmental factors here, so we'll get into that next hour. I continue to report here from the world of the new second-class citizen, the unvaxxed, the heroic control group. And, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I don't remember what story it was. There's endless reams of stories of restrictions, travel, sporting events, that are not allowing unvaccinated in, and I realize, well, you know, we can see where this is going. I don't believe they're going to let up on this anytime soon. Even though I've got a clip, you got to stick around for this. I've got a clip coming from Victoria about the success of the vaccination program that is a jaw dropper. It is a jaw dropper. But it's not going to stop them here from continuing with these kinds of restrictions. And, you know, I was thinking yesterday, I thought, well, you know, is this the first time I've been a second-class citizen? You know, me, white, straight, male? Listening to the mainstream news, you would think I've got it made. My entire life was just nothing but endless opportunity and prosperity laid out before me. That, however, has not been the case. It's kind of interesting. I got fired from a job down in Baton Rouge. I was managing a restaurant. I may have told the story before, but I was held up. They shot up my kitchen, shot at my cook staff. I was back in the office. Door bust open. A guy in a ski mask is there with a Tech 9. He shoves into my chest, and I am robbed. And I end up getting fired for lack of security measures. I won't go into the details, and I'm not a buck passer. I've done a million stupid things in my life. This was not one of them. This was actually another manager's. The general manager didn't pay to have some things repaired. He should have had repaired because he wanted a good P&L. Anyway, they fired me. I went to an attorney. I was pretty upset. And the attorney said, well, you're a straight white guy. I just don't think we're going to get a jury that's going to award you any compensation. I'm not a litigious guy anyway, but I mean, come on. I thought I was going to die, and I got canned for it. I did throw my keys into a deep fryer on the way out, and I'm not a temper tantrum guy. But when I got news that they were going to let me go to set an example for the rest of the company about security measures, this was around Christmas time, I got to tell you, I just tossed my work keys into the bottom of a deep fryer. Good luck with that. But anyway, I couldn't have a case because I was a straight white male. I've owned businesses where we have, my partner and I would attempt to go get government contracts. We found out very quickly we would not be considered because we were two straight white men. So it's not new to me to be discriminated against. But I got to tell you, I am loving my new little group here. The people that are resisting these vaccines and mask mandates and aren't going along with the program, the rebels, the troublemakers out there, it's where it's at as far as I'm concerned. Now, there's a lot of people who have just decided to shrug their shoulders and take the shot. They don't want to hear any. I don't want to hear my wife nag me about it. They may force us at work. I'll just go ahead and did a lot of great people in that group, too. But this is a little passionate group of people who are fighting for their rights. I got to tell you, I am really enjoying some of the company I'm keeping. I met a nurse last night. She's got an October 31st deadline. She's trying to get an exemption. She's in a very small group. I mean, very small within her overall organization that's resisting this. She's told me yesterday with a smile on her face, yeah, I may just have to quit. I may just have to go find something else to do. Smile on her face. I was more upset about it, seemingly, than she was. Hopefully she gets an exemption. But it is these people, and what was really sick about her story is that she's probably got people within her organization that could give her an exemption, but they won't because they just don't want to cause her kerfluffle. There are a lot of coward doctors and administrators out there that don't want to stand up for another human being. They just want to go along to get along to keep a paycheck coming. I got to tell you, the day that I would ever harm anybody, either emotionally or physically, in order to keep my paycheck rolling in, is the day my soul is gone. I've lost my soul. I can't even imagine, you know, who recommended this. We have so many people that have died or become permanently disabled from these shots. It's very rare in the scope of how many people have taken the shots. No doubt about it. The vast, 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 vast majority of people have these shots and they walk out and they're leading productive lives right now. Hopefully that's long term. We don't know what the long term effects are, but that's my biggest concern. But for the tens of thousands of people who have suffered some pretty catastrophic outcomes from these things, I can't imagine being an employer or anybody else who essentially forced somebody to go do this and it basically ended their lives. Enjoy that paycheck. I actually have more respect for a Kool-Aid drinking doctor who's just so intellectually lazy and uninterested to explore both sides of it or the concerns of their employees. At least they're just Kool-Aid drinkers, and I guess they think they're doing the right thing. But there are doctors and administrators out there at UMC, at all of these places, that know that they shouldn't be forcing healthcare professionals to take something that they're well aware of what it is. They're not stupid people. They're in the healthcare industry. But they will force them to do it anyway because the CDC says so and they want to keep their paychecks rolling. Absolutely gross. But I'm meeting a lot of heroes and a lot of very, very interesting people in this battle. So, you know, there's always a silver lining. I remember when I got divorced, I was stunned. I never thought I'd be a divorced guy. And suddenly, some of my other friends got divorced. And suddenly all these friends that, you know, everybody gets busy with their lives. You got kids, you've got jobs, you've got spouses, you kind of retreat into, I retreated pretty heavily into my kids' school. I was very involved with all of the school activities and my friends became the parents of other children. All of a sudden, I kind of rediscovered all of the friends I haven't had fun with before. Started taking, you know, guys' trips down to the weekend. There's a silver lining in all this stuff. Mine right now is the company I'm keeping. So for them, I am thankful. It's nice to not be alone. There are times where thinking independently can feel very, very lonely when you look around. But luckily, I'm at WYAB and around these other people, and it's a whole lot of people that are awake and thinking and passionate, and they're having a good time doing it too, fighting the man. I love it. I wanted to briefly touch on something before we get into the meat of today's show. On yesterday's show, when I talked about taxes and the Fed, now, I was asking why people put up with either of these things, and I know it's not really great form to do two shows 2 days apart and expect people to really keep up, so it's probably not great radio etiquette to do that, but I'm like the soup Nazi. I demand from my listeners a certain, are you familiar with the soup Nazi in Seinfeld? There's never a bad time to play a Seinfeld clip. This was Kramer talking to the soup Nazi. He demanded a lot from his customers.
One who understands me.
You suffer for your soup.
Yes, that is right.
You demand perfection from yourself, from your soup.
How can I tolerate any less from my customer?
That's right. So for my listeners, I demand the ability to tie two shows together. Now, I was talking yesterday about the Federal Reserve, about income taxes, and asking why anybody puts up with either of them. And what was interesting was Alan Ramsey came in towards the end of the show. We recorded a great interview he's going to have on his show on Saturday. I don't know. I think he's filling in for Kim Wade maybe tonight. I'm not sure if he's going to do it, but it was with Marjorie Taylor Greene. So we sat in the studio and recorded it. Anyway, he came in at the end of my show, and I don't know, he said something about what I was talking about, and then I said, man, it's the Fed. It is the Fed. We, you know, people have got to understand the Federal Reserve is the nexus. It is the Death Star. And what Alan said to me was, and he's right, I'm not criticizing him, he said, that really just goes over people's heads. You really got to kind of hit the things that they understand. And again, he's right. But what a hell of a thing to live through life with. I was trying to think of what that's like. You know, so the idea is that, well, Mike, you shouldn't really talk about the Federal Reserve, even though it's the root of a ton of our problems. We really shouldn't talk about it because people don't really understand it. And so I've taken great pains over the last 4.5 years to try to explain it to people. You know, if you have a 6-year-old child who goes up to the roof and jumps off because they think they can fly, you know, the first time they may hurt themselves, or you tried to dissuade them before, but they tried it anyway, and you just say, see, it doesn't work. But if they keep trying and keep trying, and they think it's because the wind isn't right, or the weather isn't right, or they didn't flap hard enough, I mean, at some point, you sit a 6-year-old down and you explain gravity, right? You don't just let them continue to flail away at something that they will never accomplish. You actually explain to them the problem, the flaw in their thinking, to where maybe you get through. That's what I think the Federal Reserve is. I watch people flail away at all of these different issues. Oh my, we're going socialist, we're going communist, the Chinese are a problem, the wars are too long, we got too much welfare, illegal immigration coming in and sitting on welfare, all of these problems. You know, the labor markets are screwed up because the government was sending out a bunch of checks. Every one of these problems goes back to the Federal Reserve. Am I not supposed to just explain gravity to people? I'm just supposed to watch, particularly conservatives and liberals too. God love you, liberals and Democrats. If you ever understood economics, you might be, you might have a clue. But eventually people need to understand gravity. You need to explain to them why all of the things you're doing are not working. Electing one party over the other, it never works, does it? Are you happy now? Were you happy when the Republicans did they fix everything? You know what I mean? And so Alan Ramsey is exactly right. People don't understand the Fed. They don't want to talk about that, Mike. Got to meet them where they are. Well, I got to tell you, I want to bring you to where I am, to reality. You might actually solve a problem if you understood what the cause of that problem was. No different than health. We approach politics, all of these things, the same way we approach our health. The doctors, the medical establishment, the medical mafia has convinced us, don't pay attention to the root cause of the problem. Take a pill for the symptom. It just means you will suffer with that same condition for the rest of your life while you take the pill to try to tamp down the symptom. And you know what happens then? Your body starts to break down a little bit more. Suddenly you get more symptoms, and you have to take more pills to tamp down those symptoms because your body on the inside is slowly falling apart because you never got to the root cause. Our country is falling apart because Americans refuse to get to the root cause of things. Not on my watch. I'll be right back. If you've ever had to do material the way we do here at WYAB, when you've got a talk show, an hour, 2 hours you got to fill every day, you know, a lot of things come to you during the course of the day. You have a conversation, you see something, you make a note. You're like, that's something. I mean, I got 10 hours a week. I've got to figure out things to talk about, things that are interesting. So it's, you know, a lot of things come from conversations and experiences. I started furiously typing some notes. I'm thinking about introducing an etiquette section to my show each week. Society is breaking down. People. And so it's like I should do some kind of a civility class around. Mississippi is a pretty notoriously nice place. You know, you can kind of take it for granted, and then you go to other parts of the country. You go to New York City, you come back to Mississippi, you're like, oh my gosh, thank God I live in Mississippi. New Yorkers known to be fairly brusque and rude in many cases, so it is nice. But I don't know. I may get to it today. There's just there's behaviors with our fellow citizens. Maybe just a nice reminder. But I feel like that's a little pretentious, a little judgy. But there's just some there are just some things going on in society right now. I almost feel like need to be addressed. People are behaving in weird ways. But conversation. I was talking to Clay this morning when he got done with his show. And, you know, we were kind of talking about the fact that, you know, talk radio is largely kind of an outrage machine. There is definitely a part to that. I am as guilty of it as anybody. I try to direct the rage up, not across, not to your cousin, not to one of your parents or one of your children that you decide can't attend Thanksgiving dinner this year because they disagree with me politically or they disagree with me on the vaccine. I don't do lateral hate. I try to direct the rage up. But, you know, it is true. We're always kind of complaining on and pointing out things in society that are not going well. So I thought what I might do is start a new segment called Examples of Integrity and Honesty in Our Government. I do a lot of bashing of the particularly the U.S. federal government, but really government at every level. I'm a libertarian. The smallest government, the closest to the people, is the only thing that's even remotely has a chance of working. So I'm especially hard on our federal government. But I thought, you know, I would take a minute to focus on some of the areas and branches of our government that are not corrupt. And so I figured I'd do that segment right now. So here we go. All right, so that's over. Did you see this story yesterday? It doesn't matter if it's legislative, if it's executive, or if it's judicial. 131 federal judges found to rule in cases in which they had a financial interest. More than 130 federal judges have violated U.S. law and judicial ethics by overseeing court cases involving companies in which they or their family own stock. This is right fresh on the heels of the Federal Reserve Fed heads that had to step down because they got caught front-running the stock market, the bond market, where they placed their bets, and then they rigged the race. A Wall Street Journal investigation found that judges have improperly failed to disqualify themselves from 685 court cases around the nation since 2010. The jurists were appointed by nearly every president from Lyndon Johnson to Donald Trump. About two-thirds of federal district judges disclosed holdings of individual stocks, and nearly one out of every five who did heard at least one case involving those stocks. Alerted to the violations by the Wall Street Journal, 56 of the judges have directed court clerks to... I don't know why this is tickling me, but it just is. It just is. We are living in a banana republic. Do people understand this? Alerted to the violations by the Wall Street Journal. They didn't need to be alerted by the Wall Street Journal. They knew damn good and well what they were doing. They were alerted to the fact that they got caught. 56 of the judges have directed court clerks to notify parties in 329 lawsuits that they should have recused themselves. That means new judges must be assigned, potentially upending rulings. When judges participated in such cases, about two-thirds of their rulings on motions that were contested came down, you're not going to believe this, in favor of their or their family's financial interests. What's happened to us, people? I mean, where is the refuge? This is why I'm so happy to be with my ragtag band of warriors out there fighting against government overreach. Because the government at every level just stinks to high heaven. I'm sure, you know, I guess this is where I'm supposed to say, I'm sure there are some good federal judges. What do they say? We have the worst legal system in the world, except for all the others. That's one of the things they say. And there's probably something to that. I mean, seriously, I've never lived in Iraq or Somalia, other countries where, you know, your access to the court systems are just massively corrupt. But I mean, we have got corruption problems here that almost tickle me at this point. It just doesn't. There is no refuge because the idea of checks and balances was one of the most beautiful things in the American way system. Founding fathers, such geniuses, they gave just limited powers to these three groups. But even with those limited powers, the idea was that if one of them gets a little out of line, we got two other branches that'll keep them in check. It's just the problem is these three branches have gotten together and formed a gang. They're running game on the American people. I go back to my point yesterday. I'm sorry to do a callback to a previous show, but what are you paying for when you pay your taxes? What do you think you are getting? The three branches of corruption. You know, George Bush famously did his Axis of Evil speech or whatever it is where the presidents come out and they name our top five enemies. Again, I propose to you it is a directed effort to get you to focus outside of our borders so you don't notice the con getting run inside our borders. But it turns out the Axis of Evil we should all be concerned about is the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch of our own government. Quit paying attention to China. Let's clean our own house first. Good grief. What's your frequency, can it be shot? Things are drained. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, phone number 601-879-0002. Next hour, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. There's some stuff in your children's lives you need to start paying attention to. Kind of went down a train of stories this week, particularly when it comes to young kids, but it's applicable to parents, too. We are not serving our children in so many different ways, but health is certainly one of those ways. I'm also going to do a little bit of tough love for parents out there based on some news that's coming out about the state of our youngins. So don't shoot the messenger, but we'll do that next hour. I didn't get to my quote of the day today. I don't guess this fits in as well as I wanted it to. I'm just on a roll about talking about some of this banking stuff and financial system stuff, but I'll read a quote here. This is a former Bank of England director, Josiah Stamp. Again, a former Bank of England director, Josiah Stamp. You know, some of these guys, I guess they're trying to get keys to the pearly gates, so on their way out, they try to kind of blow the whistle. Hey, people, let me tell you what we were up to in there. This is what he said. Quote, "Banking was conceived in inequity and was born in sin. The bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create money, and with the flick of the pen, they will create enough deposits to buy it back again. However, take it away from them, and all the great fortunes like mine will disappear, and they ought to disappear, for this would be a happier and better world to live in. But if you wish to remain the slaves of bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, let them to continue to create money." Are you getting that? That's a central banker telling you, if you give central bankers the power to create money, they will print it up. They'll end up owning everything. They will own the world. However, quote again, I'm going to say this again because this has been the theme of my show for a couple of days now. "However, take it away from them, and all the great fortunes like mine will disappear, and they ought to disappear, for this would be a happier and better world to live in." And this is the topic I shouldn't talk about because people don't understand it? Seems like a big deal. I'm interested in a happier and better world to live in. Are you not? Well, we know how to get there, don't we? If we would get off of our duffs. Unfortunately, we may not. There was a poll that came out yesterday. The headline read one way. I kind of interpreted it a different way. A poll came out said, one-third say boosters prove jabs not working. The way I translated that headline was, two-thirds of Americans are functionally retarded. Is that too harsh? Too harsh? You think that maybe Israel telling you that you need to take 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 doses of this vaccine mean it's not working? I think you could come to that conclusion. What the hell are these other two-thirds of Americans thinking when they look at this stuff? This is two-thirds of Americans who have already taken the jab, who are trying to justify their decision and refuse to admit they got conned. Ooh, should I go back to my bamboozle quote? I'm going to go back to my bamboozle quote. This will be the probably the record 10th reading of Carl Sagan's great bamboozle quote. Here it is. I got to tell you, this is just, it's too good to not get a regular spot on the show. This is Carl Sagan. And it applies to everything. The wars, people who are still supporting the wars, people who think that we need to go face off with Iran and North Korea now, even though they've seen the disasters of the last 10 wars we've had, they think this next one's going to go swimmingly. Or when it comes to the jabs. This is what Carl Sagan said. Just think about this with the people who have... I know there's some buyer's remorse out there. I put out a call for that. I think I'm when I hosted the Kim Wade Show. I didn't get any takers. Another one of those calls, an invitation to call in, because it's an uncomfortable call for someone to make. But I believe there's buyer's remorse on some of these shots for the people who are paying attention. And if you're not paying attention yet, just wait till you hear the clip I'm about to play you from Australia. But Carl Sagan said this, quote, "One of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle has captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back." That does not describe me. I'm like constantly on guard. Maybe healthily paranoid would be a good way to describe me. I'm always looking to find out if I got duped. And I've been duped in my life. I'm not ashamed to admit it. We all get played. I don't know why that's too painful to acknowledge to ourselves. I'll do it in a heartbeat because I don't want it to happen again. I don't want to give a charlatan power over me for a second longer than needs to happen. I'm always looking. I'm on guard for somebody playing me. Most people realize they got played, but I don't want to say anything. It makes me feel icky. So check this out. This is a clip from, this is for the two-thirds of you out there in that poll who believe the vaccine's just working great. Because Thomas Dobbs and the CDC and the Lion Walensky and Joe Biden tell you we got a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I will continue to ask this question. I doubt with the subject matter that I cover and the tone that I cover it with, I doubt I've got a whole lot of mainstream medical fans out there. I'm a little brutal on the medical establishment. Well, I call it the medical mafia. That's probably not a good way to win friends and influence people in the kind of in Western medicine here in the United States. I think I did a whole show a couple of weeks ago about how the medical system kills 350,000 people every single year. I believe it was a full jumbo jet crashing to the ground and killing everybody on it every 3 days. Would you fly on a plane? Would you be hesitant to get on a plane if every 3 days there was a headline about a jumbo jet crashing into the earth and killing all 200 people on board? Probably make you a little reticent to get on a plane. Yet the medical community lays claim to 350,000 deaths between medical mistakes and properly prescribed, properly taken pharmaceuticals that kill people. So I doubt I've got a whole lot of people in the mainstream medical establishment listening to me. But they've got to see this stuff. I mean, they've got to be able to see this stuff. This is Victoria. This is their health minister down in Victoria. I want you to listen to the statistics. He's going to roll out the hospitalizations around COVID. And then he's going to give you a fun little stat towards the end of this thing. I will play this twice. It's only 27 seconds long because I want to make sure you really hear it.
We also have 375 people with COVID in hospital at the moment. 81 of those are in intensive care and 61 are on a ventilator. Of the people who were in hospital yesterday, 78% were vaccinated and 17 were partially vaccinated. In regards to tests...
Excuse me, what? Did you catch that? This is Australia. somehow in the United States, maybe it's a hemisphere. No, it can't be a hemisphere thing because we're in the same hemisphere as England and Germany. And I think Scotland's seeing the same thing. Here they talk about the rare breakthrough cases, but they tell you, if you do catch COVID, this is the desperate clinging to efficacy of the vaccine is people think, well, yeah, I guess I can get it. And well, yeah, it turns out I can spread it, but I won't have severe disease like the unvaccinated won't. That's what we've settled on right now. It's the old flu shot argument. But did you hear the statistics? I want you to listen towards the end. Make sure you get this. The percentage of people who have either been double jabbed or single jabbed, they should have some protection. I mean, even the single jab should be better than us unwashed, unvaxxed masses, right? Listen to, and then total them up. I'm a proud graduate of Jackson Public Schools. It's quick math.
We also have 375 people with COVID in hospital at the moment. 81 of those are in intensive care and 61 are on a ventilator.
All right, listen up.
Of the people who were in hospital yesterday, 78% were vaccinated and 17 were partially vaccinated.
Okay, so out of all of their hospitalized people, not cases, not just a positive PCR test. These are hospitalized people in Australia, 381 of them, 95% of them, 78% have got double dose, and another 17% have gotten single dose. Only 5% of the people in the hospital, again, I can't stress this enough. We're not talking about cases because here the refuge is for the vaccine pushers is, oh, you might get a case, but you won't be hospitalized. No, they are talking about hospitalizations. 81 people on ventilators. 95% of them are vaccinated. How is it possible? I have asked this question to medical people, to friends who can think logically. How is it possible that all of these countries are having a 180-degree different result than the United States is? Either something bizarre is going on, or they're just flat-out lying to us here. I have a suspicion of which one that is. I'll be right back.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We're the Renegades, it is Atomic Age. It's Atomic Age, the Renegades.
I have got a strange amount of energy today. I don't know if you can hear it or not. I had very little sleep last night. Somebody sent me a recent presentation from Dr. McCullough. It's never good when you're interested in that stuff and you open up an email at about 11:30 and you see a video that's like an hour and 20 minutes long. You just go, oh, hell, here I go. It was pretty amazing stuff. I've gotten almost no sleep, yet I have a tremendous amount of energy. Don't know how that works exactly, but anyway. The other headlines that I had on this vaccine, I'm finding these stacked headlines. You know, you go to these news aggregator sources and you see these. So the first one was this: one-third say boosters prove jabs not working. Right under that, Singapore record cases despite 80% vaxxed. And then a really sad story. Fully dosed Michigan couple dies a minute apart holding hands. That's sweet. It's sad. I got to tell you though, if you find your soulmate, if they check out, kind of comforting to know you go together. I hope you really like it. I hope neither one of them are faking it because they're stuck together now, aren't they? But it's a sad story. But you know, people were 59 and 66, I believe. So they were older. Apparently, they had comorbidities. Well, you know, they were both very, very large people. But I cannot shake this constant reminder that we were told these vaccines are 100% effective against hospitalizations and deaths. They didn't say 99. They didn't say 99.9. They told you. I've read these things. They're quotes. And this is still going on. These kinds of things, I haven't really heard them throw that. It would take a brass set to come out and say 100% again with that statistic. But the talking point, again, is still, you may get it. You're sure as hell going to spread it. But you're not going to get real sick.
We also have 375 people with COVID in hospital at the moment. 81 of those are in intensive care and 61 are on a ventilator. Of the people who were in hospital yesterday, 78% were vaccinated and 17 were partially vaccinated.
I'm sure our mainstream media is, right now as we speak, grilling Anthony Fauci, grilling the lying Walensky, grilling our health authorities, grilling hospital administrators, grilling medical directors, grilling Thomas Dobbs, asking them, how is it possible that 95% of people in the hospital are fully vaccinated in Australia? I know that investigative reporting is going on. I can rest sure, right? I don't watch the news, so if you get a clip tonight of one of our great ABC, NBC, Fox News, any of them, it may be on Tucker, maybe. Maybe Tucker Carlson will cover this. I don't know. He's our only chance. This is such a glaring, obvious question to ask in the midst of this program, and they will absolutely refuse to ask it. I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
The president of the United States come out and said that 25% of the population are the problem.
Yeah.
We're the bad guys.
Right.
We're the evil ones. We're keeping everybody down.
I know.
But my question is, shouldn't we all be dead?
Well, you would think. You would think, I mean, there wouldn't be a...
Shouldn't they just have to wait a little while, and then we all just keel off, right?
Well, for some reason, though, we're a danger to them. That's that is the mystifying thing. I consider myself a national hero for risking my lives out here unprotected in the control group, and I'm getting no credibility for no credit for that.
I'm telling you, I'm like a World War II hero out here taking the bullets, you know, for
right.
the rest of the country to be able to stay in America and stay safe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with all of these vaccinated people running around and now we can find out they can catch it, I'm like Superman. I put my hands on my hips and I stand in front of people and I take the COVID.
But anyway, man, it's all ridiculous. It's all ridiculous.
It's insane.
But anyway, hey, have a good one.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm sure Joe Biden will get this question. He got his... air quotes here in the studio, booster. What was in that vial they put in Joe Biden? Now, I'm going to do it again. I can't help myself. You understand, I have a compulsion to do these things. Donald Trump didn't get that shot either. Donald Trump got saline. Now, does he know it? Probably. You really believe Donald Trump said, oh, sure, I want to be part of the experiment. I want to be one of the first ones out there. Now, he does drink a lot of diet sodas, so maybe he's not real familiar with the chemical ingestion, these kinds of things. Maybe these elite people, they do not experiment on themselves. I have no proof of this. I am waiting desperately to get that whistleblower who comes out and says, I was involved in a staged vaccination of blank. We were told to make sure that we gave them a vial. That needs to happen. Project Veritas, are you listening? Please uncover the saline switch for us with these elites. There is no way, no way. Now, I just had a thought. Maybe they are allowing Joe Biden to be part of the experiment because there's a lot of people, including Joe Biden's handlers, that would really like to see him sidelined. It's enough already, they're thinking. I mean, the guy's going to suffer a medical event anyway, but I guess it would be bad. I guess Pfizer and Moderna probably would not allow him to keel over live on television. That would be bad for business. So he probably is a saline survivor. as the rest of the elites are. But I just, again, I'm a simple man. I really am. And I'm just looking for anybody to explain. And this is a question. If you know any medical professionals, ask them. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I will send you this clip from Australia with this guy admitting that 95% of the people in the hospital have been vaccinated. Most of those, 78%, have been double-dosed. And present this to one of your medical friends and say, how is it possible that this is happening in Australia but not here? I mean, I'm looking at this guy on the video right now on the Twitter. If he didn't have that super cool Australian accent, he looks like one of us. Looks like the same kind of biological entity that most Americans are. How is it possible that Israel, Germany, England, Australia are all having the complete opposites from what we're told we're having here, which is a pandemic of the unvaccinated? I bet you the classification of unvaccinated is a little suspect here. Be right back. They screwed it up. This show is not approved by the CDC, the FDA, the medical establishment, the AMA, any of these particular groups. This is a radical show about radical health freedom. So just be prepared for that. Today's going to include a little bit of tough love for parents out there. There's some concerning news coming out of the last year with the health of our children. Parents need to take some action. Time to parent a little bit. Not always easy. I have been a parent. I sit in judgment of nobody when it comes to parenting. I'll tell you that right now. But sometimes we just got to acknowledge problems we have. I start every one of these Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use shows by explaining to you I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not an immunologist, not an epidemiologist. I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a therapist. I'm in no way qualified to advise anybody on their health. I am merely the vessel through which the wisdom of many people far smarter than myself, their information flows. It is very easy now to find and identify nutritional deficiencies that you're having that are leading to so many chronic problems that we all have. I had them too. I continue to have them. Things pop up and I get online and I fix them and I feel great. So anyway, this is a show about taking back your own health. And I got to tell you, this show should be blossoming right now because, I don't know, for a lot of people that are paying attention right now, we don't have the greatest of faith in our medical establishment. They've been calling the shots for a long time. I've been talking about their results for the last 4.5 years. But for the last year, and particularly what's going on right now, I think people might want to start taking control of their own health. Do you really want to leave your health in the hands of what we're seeing right now? You know, I can't remember. I was a president of the Latin Club back in high school. I was not a nerd. The Latin Club was cool when I was in high school. We had a great teacher. The class was fun. So to build my college resume, I ran for president of the Latin Club. Latin is a lot of root words. You know, if you take Latin, the interesting thing about it is you see how English came about with a lot of Latin roots. You know, I started looking as I was writing down my little disclaimer here because I want to make sure I say it every time, say I'm not a doctor. It just kind of hit me. Is doctor part of, you know, is there a Latin root to doctor and dictator that is the same? I didn't really actually go through and look at it. I wouldn't have thought that before, but now that I look at it, doctor, dictator, there's got to be some similar root to the word, and maybe now why we understand. And look, there's a lot of good doctors out there. To any of you good ones out there listening, love you. Thank God you're out there. You're a few. But when you've got what were formerly doctors committed to patient care now suddenly becoming authoritarians demanding you become a part of an experiment or there's no treatments for you, doctor and dictator start to look a lot more similar. I did have a kind of a quote of the day. This is Employer of the Year. This is somebody had just sent it. This was just in the comment section from someone named Chris. He said, got a letter from my employer a few days ago that suggested taking vitamin C, D, and zinc and included a gift card. That's all. I think I know where they stand on vaccine mandates. That is an employer that cares about their employees. They suggest taking vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc, and they gave them a gift card to go out and get all of those supplies. And it's cheap as hell for the employer, too. That's the beautiful thing. That was probably a $20 gift card that'll set an employee up for the next 60 days. That's how cheap it is to actually maintain your health. All right, I wanted to get into some stuff around our kids. The way this show kind of plays out most times is I see one story and I think, oh, I don't know if I've covered that. I'll find other stories. And this was a headline here. And I'll suggest to you that when it comes to our kids, we need to be careful. We're not only hurting them physically. I believe we're damaging them mentally and genderly. Is that a word? This was a headline I saw. It came from the Defender, Children's Health Defense. Baby poop contains 10 times more microplastic than adult poop, study finds. Come on now, where else are you going to find a show in central Mississippi at 10 o'clock in the morning that's going to talk to you about baby poop? Come on! I've carved out quite a little niche for myself here, haven't I? Infants have an average of 10 times the concentration of a type of microplastic in their poop than adults, a pilot study released Wednesday found. Research published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology Letters follows previous studies reflecting the ubiquity of microplastics, small fibers less than 5 millimeters in size originating from everyday objects like plastic bottles, polyester coating that end up in the planet's wastewaters, and human guts. Quote, human exposure to microplastics is a health concern. That's what the lead author, boy, I can't even, it's Indian name, I cannot even begin to pronounce that thing, a professor at NYU Grossman School of Medicine's Department of Pediatrics. Researchers focused on two types of common microplastics, polyethylene terephthalate, PET, and polycarbonate, PCs, and measured feces from infants and 10 adults. They also looked at three examples of newborns' first waste, which was also shown to have higher levels of these microplastics. I'm going to talk a little bit about what those are, and then I'll take a break and come back and play you a clip about why this is important. This is a story. Gosh, I didn't link this thing. Somebody who'd done a study on this, on these microplastics, and really, and this is for adults too, but the thing to kids, because look, we're seeing gender issues really crop up. Now, I think a lot of us subscribe that to the cultural war we're going through right now, right? A lot of craziness coming from the left. Gender is a construct. We're going to let our little babies decide what they want to be. This kind of human insanity that is in the adult population, but it is well-founded in science that these plastics can be endocrine disruptors. They can mess up the hormonal system of all of us. But you can imagine with a developing baby, parents, I believe, need to start considering this. There's just plastic everywhere with our kids. This is from this piece. Often the effects are manifested in children or grandchildren of contaminated adults. Petrochemicals are everywhere, from medicines and to food, cleaning products, etc. Dr. Altrea Smith states that even if it's hard to believe, the plastic wrap that you use to cover your food with could be adding minute particles or harmful petroleum molecules to your food, and yes, this is probably the case. These products have a hormone-like effect on the body and are called xenobiotics. The ones with specific estrogen-like effect are called xenoestrogens. I've talked about this a lot. Do we feel like we've got a society of guys that are becoming more effeminate? I'm going to submit to you, it's not all cultural. The cultural war is real. but there may be other things that are affecting us. Looking from a biochemical point of view, the cell has a porous wall that allows the nutrients to enter and contribute to the cellular metabolism. These cells have receptacles, especially special doors, that welcome the nutrients or chemicals into the cell. Hormones have their own door to enter the cell. Since petrochemicals have the hormone-like effect, they block the doors to the normal hormones. They are acting either as hormone or standing in the cell of the hormone whose door they are temporarily blocking. Besides the endocrine system, the hormone systems, other normal hormones function, like digestion or anti-inflammatory responses, can also be affected. And this goes on to say, how does plastic affect our hormones? Hormones help control every function in the body. Petrochemicals tend to have an estrogenic effect on the body, but others can act like testosterone. The estrogenic strength of the chemicals is bigger than anything occurring naturally in the body. One of the main troubles is that the body lacks the ability to recognize them as invading hormones. Sorry, I'm struggling to read that a little bit. The typeface is small, and I'm getting older. I guess I need to do a segment on keeping your vision tight. We are subjected to plastics everywhere, and particularly our kids. If you were to think right now, your kids, your grandkids, again, my kids are 20, but I became very cognizant of this a long time ago when my kids were young. Now, particularly because the thing that set me on my health journey in the first place was reading stories about little girls going into puberty at age 7 or 8. And I said, not on my watch, not with my kid. And that's when I started making a lot of changes to my entire family's diet. And my daughter grew up healthy and normal. But when I come back, I'm going to play a clip from an environmental working group that kind of goes into a little bit more depth on that. And again, if you've got young kids, you've got grandkids, you've got nieces, nephews, or other children that you love, this is information you might want to share. I think people don't know this. And I don't know if I mentioned this the other day. Sometimes I get too many points to bring across because I saw it the other day. I've talked about this a lot. Water bottles. Plastic water bottles. I see these things stacked up outside of convenience stores outside. The sun beating down on these water bottles. Presumably, that's where they store them. And then when the displays inside the store go low, they bring those water bottles in and stack them there. They cool down, and we drink them. There's a lot of evidence, a lot of studies out there that say that hot water bottles subjected to direct sunlight are leaching these chemicals, these endocrine disruptors, into the water, and we go in there and guzzle this stuff down. And there's... There's a famous Alex Jones thing that goes around where he goes on a rant and talks about they're making the frogs gay. The chemicals are making the frogs gay. A lot of people make fun of that, but it's true. They're going to explain it to you in this clip when we come back. Stay with me. Put your hand to bite on, just a piece of lip to bite on. What a night to fly my kite on. Do you want to flash a light on? Take a look, it's on display for you. Coming down. You know, one of the things I point out a lot on this show is that we've seen declining health by generation. Are the generations of children that are being raised now for really the first time, I guess this generation, maybe the previous one, they're having worse health outcomes than previous generations. You would think with the trillions of dollars that we spend on medical care here that things would constantly be improving, but they are not. We are sinking down the charts in world health, and our generations are getting sicker. And because the medical establishment can't point to anything, they haven't figured this out. I believe everything should be on the table. Vaccines, GMOs, and plastics. Usually you hear hormone issues with women. They will talk about their hormones. I guess this is a gal thing. I don't know if I've ever had a hormone conversation with guys, but I have talked about my battle against the moob, the man boob, here on this show, and its relation to soy. But you know, these plastics, these endocrine disruptors, they're messing with our hormones. I'm no doctor, I'm no scientist, but I don't think that's good. Plastics are wonderful things that have made our lives better, but when it comes to contaminating foods, I think it's something we should keep our eye on. There's a group called Environmental Working Group that I refer to pretty often. They've got some great stuff. If you need to get a sunscreen, I guess we're past those days now, but every spring I direct you to Environmental Working Group to find the right sunscreens. You know, they found out that these sunscreens are toxic. skin cancer since we started slathering ourselves with sunscreen. Skin cancer has gone parabolically up. So there's all kinds of things to look at on an environmental working group. They've also got their Dirty Dozen, where they tell you the foods that are most important that you buy organic. Some are more important than others. So if you're cost conscious and you want to start switching to organic, at least focus on those foods that keep the most pesticides out by going organic. They put this piece out, too, talking about endocrine disruptors. And she refers to the frogs are turning gay thing. It's a real thing.
Hi, I'm Carla, and I'm a research analyst and ingredient safety expert here at EWG. Did you hear about the male frog exposed to a chemical found in tap water that ended up with female anatomy? Unfortunately, that's what actually happened when frogs ingested atrazine, a chemical found in the tap water of 70 million Americans.
That can't be true. We've got the FDA, we've got the EPA, we've got the CDC. They would never let a dangerous hormone-bending, gender-bending chemical into our water. These agencies don't care about us.
Endocrine-disrupting chemicals are all over the place. There are thousands of these chemicals, and most of them are manufactured. But some do occur naturally, and they're lurking in our food, food packaging, household cleaners, beauty products, water, and they're even in our furniture and dust. You might remember from science class that the endocrine system is a network of hormone-producing glands. It's essential to every phase of your body's development, including metabolism, sleep, and reproduction. Endocrine disruptors can play tricks on our bodies by mimicking naturally occurring hormones, such as estrogen or thyroid hormones. Endocrine disruptors, like atrazine, can throw a wrench into how the system's receptors work. These chemicals can increase the production of certain hormones or decrease the production of others. They can even interfere with hormone signaling. So either way, they throw off your hormonal balance. The result is a wide array of possible health effects, including reproductive issues, risk of low birth weight, and behavioral problems, obesity, diabetes, and even some types of cancer.
Now, I'm looking at this list. This is a video. I'm happy to share it with anybody. You can always get my health show notes by emailing me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. But, I mean, just look at this. I've reported endlessly on fertility problems we're having in this country. The numbers are pretty shocking. I mean, really shocking. Sperm counts in men, fertility of women. We're having some dramatic decreases in that. Low birth weight. I covered the other day the World Health Index. And one of those things is birth outcomes. The U.S. is, shooting down the charts in that. Behavioral problems. We're medicating children at a rate never before seen in the history of mankind, blaming these behavioral problems. And this is another thing, too. I know I've touched on this before, but you're having behavioral problems with your children, and it happens. I don't judge any parents. I'm telling you, I do not. Parenting is hard. But you need to look at the food. You need to look at what your child is ingesting. It matters. Obesity, enough said there. Diabetes, we've had an explosion in diabetes over the last 20, 30 years. And cancers have gone from 1 in 33 people to 1 in 3 people. So if these endocrine disruptors, these are some of the things they could possibly cause, it sure looks to me like they're causing them.
Even at very low doses of exposure. And here's the kicker. Developing fetuses, infants, and children are all even more vulnerable to all of these negative effects since their immune and metabolic systems are still in development. So, what can you do? Well, it's nearly impossible to avoid exposure to these contaminants completely. But you can minimize your risk by reducing exposure as much as possible with what we at EWG call the Dirty Dozen list of endocrine disruptors. The list includes the most common endocrine disruptors out there, like flame retardants, pesticides, mercury, lead, and BPA. So here are a few things you can do to limit your exposure. Don't buy clothes or furnishings made with flame retardants or water-resistant coatings. You can dust frequently and choose a vacuum with a HEPA filter. Steer clear of plastic wrap and canned foods, both of which can contain endocrine disruptors. And avoid nonstick cookware and utensils. Instead, opt for cast iron or stainless steel. If you'd like to learn more ideas about minimizing the effect of endocrine disruptors on you and your family, Check out the full Dirty Dozen list of endocrine disruptors at ewg.org/dirtydozenendocrine.
They really have a great site for doing this this kind of work. Again, they put out sunscreen recommendations. They put out what foods are important organic, and I believe it's ewg.org. That's Environmental Working Group. You definitely should check them out. I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. One other very troubling headline with kids. I'm going to do a little bit of tough love. Don't shoot the messenger when I come back. Stay with me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday, so we're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. People have been trying to call in. If you're new to the show, I do not take any calls during this hour because I'm not an expert. I don't want to get myself into a situation where I find myself trying to give a recommendation on anything. This is really about just convincing people to do their own research, to take an active interest in your own health. I think we understand now, finally, that the medical establishment just, they've got their rules they go by. They will get you to ingest a chemical to address a problem, and we've accepted that for far too long. This push for vaccinations, even experimental, should not really come as a surprise to us. So it's up to you to take control of your health. I am happy to help anybody. Last night I ran into somebody who had, just mentioned a health issue. I could be kind of annoying, I guess. I don't know if I'm like a vegan where everybody knows my stance on this stuff, but I get excited. And so they asked me a little bit about, what they were dealing with, what I would recommend. I didn't know. It's something I hadn't researched before, but I immediately started researching it, and I found it fascinating, just searching for natural treatments. And I go to some of my trusted sources, Dr. Mercola, Dr. Berg, Dr. Axe, Dr. Rhonda Patrick. There's a lot of great people out there with great science backed up with statistics and studies. And, I immediately shared this with her. I hope she gets some relief. I get very excited. It's almost like I imagine it's like what Harriet Tubman felt when she was leading people through the Underground Railroad. I am freeing people from the medical system. I get some emails to this. Nothing makes me happier, regardless of all the blathering I do about political stuff. Nothing makes me happier than to hear somebody has got better health outcomes. It changes everything, everything. I've got two 20-year-olds. I've said this before. I changed our diet when they were, I believe, 4 or 5 when I first read this article about kids going into puberty early. That was the impetus for my change, and then it fixed everything with me. I was surprised. I wasn't doing it for myself. So there's a lot of things we should be doing for our kids, and a lot of us are more motivated to do things for our kids than we are for ourselves. That's definitely how I was. So I talk a lot about that. I've really been threatening. It's kind of nice, I got to tell you, having two 20-year-olds, they're out of the house. It does tend to free up a lot of time. There's something to that. But I almost want to go back and do it again. Have a baby just to see, because I've been threatening to do this. I don't think I've ever put it into a show, but I think you can just raise super babies. And so we've spent some time today talking about getting plastic stuff out. And that starts, that starts in utero. The mom-to-be needs to be paying attention to her exposure to chemicals and to plastics to give the baby a good starting point. But then when you raise a child, boy, if you got the fluoride out of their water, if you kept them off of GMOs that screws up their gut health, if you didn't get them addicted to sugar really early, we are very soon in our lives to give them those Honey Nut Cheerios, and suddenly they get that taste for sugar, and there's no going back. You could postpone sugar. That's a toughie. I agree. I know. I had kids too. But you can create a super baby, and there have been a couple of my friends who have had children recently that I've said, let me send you some stuff. I don't know if anybody pays attention to me. I could be like that annoying vegan. No offense, vegans, but you are pretty vocal about your position on meat for those of us enjoying a burger at the time. But anyway, when it comes to kids, we have a responsibility to them as parents. And I think a lot of people, and I, again, I do not judge. There are times I threw an iPad at a couple of restless kids. I didn't do it that often. I knew I was doing wrong. But parenting is a lot of times about time and your energy levels in the first place. But this headline comes across, and This is where I say it's a little bit of tough love here. The proportion of U.S. children who are overweight or obese, which has climbed steadily for years, surged to unprecedented levels during the pandemic, according to new figures from the CDC. Among a cohort of 432,302 people aged 2 to 19, the rate of body mass index increase roughly doubled during the pandemic compared with the period preceding it. The greatest increases were seen in children aged 6 to 11 than in those already overweight before the pandemic. National weight gain will surprise few pediatricians who have been warning since the pandemic began of the likely effects of reduced physical activity. Again, thank you, school boards. Thank you, Thomas Dobbs. Thank you, Anthony Fauci. All of your mitigation efforts fattened up our kids. I don't know. Maybe these people really are evil. Maybe they do plan on eating our children. They certainly have been fattening them up. This is just another one of these consequences. The response to coronavirus destroyed the economy, destroyed the labor markets, it destroyed the supply chains, it destroyed people's mental health, it destroyed family relationships, it destroyed people's ability to say goodbye to a loved one, and it got our kids fat. And the adults, too. The average weight gain, I believe, was 26 pounds for adults who gained weight during the pandemic. I include myself in that. Not the 26 pounds, but I definitely did some comfort eating, too. The bottom line with this, the monthly rate of BMI increased nearly doubled to 1.93 times its pre-pandemic rate. Almost two times the pre-pandemic rate of increased obesity in the kids. The proportion of U.S. children who are obese was rising by 0.7% a month before the pandemic, but rose to, 0.07%, but rose by 0.37% a month, five times faster after the virus appeared. Of course, it had nothing to do with the virus. There is not one single study out there that shows coronavirus will make you fat. It is the mitigation efforts. So, again, this is kind of tough love stuff. I almost hate covering this up. It is so obvious. You know, we have just lived through 18 months of a disease that they refused to admit was really having a problem with people who were dramatically overweight. This couple I talked about last hour that died holding hands within a minute of each other. Tragic, tragic story. But they were very large. Anthony Fauci and Thomas Dobbs have had every opportunity to tell people this would be a great year for everybody to get their weight in check. But they didn't. Because the last thing the medical establishment wants is a bunch of healthy people walking around. They know if they made everybody healthy over the last 18 months, then when they came out of this, their paychecks would shrink because we wouldn't need them near enough. But we cannot let our kids develop obesity as a child. And I know it's hard to control kids' diets, but love ain't easy, is it? I know, I've got an ex-wife. But we've got to stop this trend towards our kids who are going to live their entire lives unhealthy. And so many of our kids' health habits are set up when they're kids for the rest of their lives. You know, we have a situation in this country where people talk a lot about their genetics. My diddy got Alzheimer's. His diddy had Alzheimer's. I'm going to have Alzheimer's. And there's a whole scientific section out there called epigenetics, which really shows it's not genetics. You might have the same genetics, but you can either turn on or turn off good and bad genes by your environment, by the chemicals we've been talking about today, by the foods you ingest. And so it's not that you're just going to get Alzheimer's because people did before. It is because your habits turn on those Alzheimer's genes the same way your diddies did and your granddiddies did. It's not a fate that you just have to wait. My mom had breast cancer. Her mom had breast cancer. My mom's sister had breast cancer. Well, they were all eating the same. They all had basically the same lifestyle because they all learned from each other. You change your lifestyle and you dramatically reduce your chances of getting breast cancer. I got to say it again every time I say the words breast cancer. Do you know that a woman with proper vitamin D levels reduces her chance of her risk of breast cancer by 80%? 80. My favorite statistic of the show over the last 4 years. Women, if you're just crossing your fingers and hoping you're not getting breast cancer, you want to put the odds in your favor, supplement with vitamin D, get your vitamin D levels checked, make sure you've got good vitamin D levels, 80% reduction in breast cancer. I don't know why they won't tell us that. I guess the last year has shown us that they just won't empower us with any information that actually would help. But There are so many substitutions out there for kids right now. You know, my children are 20 years old now. I don't know. May have changed in the past year. I don't ask this question every time I see my kids. But I know probably up until at least last summer, my children had never had an entire soda. Because I didn't raise them on sodas. And they were still happy kids. I just told them that was not something that they wanted. And by the time they got past, I don't know what the age is, but it's like if you can get your child past 4, 5, 6, maybe a little bit longer than that, but just don't trigger their taste buds and their desire. Don't get them addicted to the really sugary things, particularly soft drinks and things like that, early on in life. And it carries through. My children really don't even like sodas. It's not their dad sitting around hovering, slapping their hand if they try to pick up a soda. I drank some when I was a kid. Not a lot, but some. Drank a ton in college. They just don't like it. They never acquired a taste for it. And so when you've got children, you are constantly kind of setting up the pattern for the rest of their lives. This obesity stuff is scary. It's bad for them health-wise. It's bad for them socially. It's bad for them athletically. I mean, we set our children up for failure, and none of us want to. We want to give our children every possible advantage in life. This is a hard one. I had to deal with some pouting, a lot of eye rolling. There was a whole lot of eye rolling at the Madison household growing up with my kids whenever we talked about food or grocery store. I'm telling you, my kids will still tell you the story now. We used to go out for trips. The whole family would go out for trips to just run errands. And I'd let kids get a snack. And what the kids had to do is they'd have to go pick out a snack, and they would come up to me and show me the label. And I would say yay or nay. Do you know how many sighs and eye rolls I got when I saw aspartame in every single pack of gum out there? And I told them, no, you're not getting that. Now, eventually, I was smart enough to find aspartame-free, xylitol-flavored gum that the kids liked, and I just substituted it. And that's my point. There's substitutions for everything. Our kids don't have to, even if they're less active. Kids have got a naturally high metabolism. They're full of energies. But you've got to set them up for success. If the damage has been done to our kids over the last year, it's our job to get their weight back in shape before we set them up for a lifetime of chronic health problems. These things escalate. They do not just abate by themselves. And once kids have got bad eating habits, they take those to college, and then they take those into their adult years. A lot of us did this exact same thing. I did. I was overweight and sickly and stomach problems and headaches and restless leg and insomnia and flu every year and strep throat and bronchitis. I mean, I had it all, baby. Because I just went buck wild when I went to school. So anyway, this is very concerning. We do not need to exacerbate the obesity problem in this country. And we need to just look our health authorities in the eye, the ones that locked us down and sent us on this path. We need to look at them with one particular finger on our hand and leave them behind in the dust and say, we're going to fix ourselves. And one of the first things that parents need to do is they need to fix their kids. Do not let your child develop these bad habits. It's not fun. It's not easy. You're going to get some pushback, but you're the parent. I'll be right back.
Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the day today. You know, I feel icky even doing that segment. Because I promise you, I do not judge any parents. There's all kinds of things I got wrong when I was a parent. There's a bunch of things I'd like to get a do-over. But I did stop and think during the break then. I wonder if my children, and they're 20 now, do they thank me for the fact that they've been so remarkably healthy, good functioning brains, very, very healthy kids? Has that hit them yet? You know, it takes a while for that kind of stuff to pay off. It probably wasn't until I was 28, 29, maybe when I had kids in my 30s before I ever actually could really appreciate my parents. Getting appreciation from your kids is like seeing a rainbow. It's about every 5 years you see a really good one and it's gone very quickly. It's right back to the usual. But, you know, your children, parenting is about doing things for them against their will. You are the boss of them. We are the boss of our children. It's not easy. It's not fun. And the thing is, too, you know, with kids, if you dial in a good 70-80% of their nutrition, you'll set them up for success. I knew when I didn't have the fun snacks around the house, I know why they're going over to their neighbor, you know, to their buddy's house. I know. I did the same thing when I was a kid, but I had control of about 70-80% of their diet. Weekends, I wasn't a food Nazi. Halloween, knock yourselves out, kid. Put yourself in a sugar coma. I don't care. You don't have to just destroy their lives. You just make good choices for them for a good 60, 70, 80% of the food they have when they're at home, and they will not suffer for it. Be an adjustment period. Ketogenic diet, too, is one thing I've seen a lot of studies on with kids. Really helps with brain stuff. It may not be right for all kids, but it's a great way to lose weight, and it puts me in a really good mood, a good mental space. I need to do it again. I think I've been talking about it for 3 months and still haven't gotten back onto it. But anyway, it's something you might want to consider. But definitely try to get the chemicals, the pesticides, the gender-bending hormones, mimickers out of their foods. It would serve you well. I did a lot last week on the tragedy of the low-fat diet recommendations from our medical establishment here, our nutritional establishment. And if you missed the show, one of the big kickers in it was, I played parts from a presentation of a woman. The National Institutes of Health did a study, and they found out that low-fat diet was wrecking people's health. They sat on that report for 16 years before they released it in some obscure journal. They basically tried to just hide it. 16 years, they let people continue to follow the low-fat diet advice, even though they knew it was harming people. And the reason they gave for that is they didn't like the results of it. Of the actual study that showed that low-fat diets were bad for people and it was causing them to get fat. They didn't like the conclusions, so they hid this for 16 years. I mean, I think that says everything you need to know about the advice you're getting. But as, you know, you transition your own diet or your kids' diets, one of the things that I know I was very guilty of before I started doing this kind of research was using margarines. Oh, yeah, country crock, baby. It spreads so easy. People still love the convenience of that. I switched to butter about 15 years ago. My life is okay. Nothing's really changed. I'm still happy. Not having spreadable margarine has not affected my life one single iota. I use good grass-fed organic butter, and things just work out great. But listen to this story. This came out last week. And again, this is after decades of low-fat advice. Some of your doctors are still telling you to eat low-fat diets. Here's a study that's just out last week. Could a little extra butter actually be good for your heart? A new study reveals that consuming dairy fat from products like butter, cream, and cheese could prevent a heart attack. An international team finds people who consume higher levels of these fats are less likely to develop cardiovascular disease. How many years have they told you to make sure you get the skim milk? You don't want any of that dairy fat. It'll make you fat. And how many of you out there are pouring skim milk on Skittles for breakfast, which is essentially what most of the sugary cereals are? But yeah, I eat Fruit Loops, but I put skim milk on them. I don't know why I'm not losing weight. An international team finds people who consume higher levels of these fats are less likely to develop cardiovascular disease. For years, experts have urged adults to skip fat-laden dairy foods, including milk, to stay healthy. Now, for the first time, scientists have measured intakes by levels of fatty acid in the blood. Let's see if I get down here to the payoff lines in here. I talk about, oh yeah, here it is. They measured blood levels of certain fatty acids or fat building blocks that are found in dairy foods, which gives a more objective measure of dairy fat intake and doesn't rely just on memory or the quality of the food database. This is from a Dr. Markland. She said, listen to this quote. After decades of advice, skim milk and margarine. Don't get that butter. It'll make you fat. It was funny. I still remember, my sister passed away a long time ago, but when we were kids, we were very different in age, so we weren't really that close. But I still remember sitting at the breakfast bar with her having pancakes, and I loved butter. I would put a ton of butter on my pancakes. And my sister would look and she'd go, you know, if you eat all that butter, you're going to get fat. She didn't say anything about the syrup that I was coating my pancakes in. She was focusing on the butter. Turns out I was ahead of my time. I did not have any heart attacks when I was a child. This is what this Dr. Markland says. Quote, we found those with highest levels, this is of these fatty acids or fat building blocks, we found those with the highest levels actually had the lowest risk of cardiovascular disease. These findings were published in the journal PLOS Medicine and add to growing evidence in favor of unaltered full-fat foods. The results come from a review of more than 4,000 Swedish adults who are among the world's biggest consumer of dairy products, and I will tell you they are also some of the healthiest people on the planet. Maybe part of the reason they made it through COVID better than us. I cannot begin to tell you. I could do the rest of this year just in shows of bad advice and misleading things that we've been led down the path to. Everything from diet sodas to low-fat diets to GMOs are just the same as anything else. I mean, the advice is horrible. It makes it a little difficult for us. You got to do some research. I'm trying to help where I can. If you've got questions, if you've got things that you want, I've got probably 150 pages now of links of source material. If you want information from me, you can do this on your own. Natural treatments for, natural recommendations for, blank. But if you have other questions for me, I'm happy to share research with you. It's not my advice, but I will send you good credentialed people, studies or things like that that may address any concerns you have. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com. I'll give you the information. You take it and run with it. That's the best I can do. That's all the time I got today. Have a healthy and a happy day. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.